Well, I mentioned at the beginning that I'm a big New Year's resolutions person, which I only just occurred to me this morning that that's really an indictment on how I live my year the rest of the time, that I have to keep these goals in front of me. But I really am, and I do believe that God's mercies are new every morning. And I don't know if you've thought about it for 2017 and what that means for us this year. Does it mean anything? Or is it just another year? Am I just going to continue to float level or flatline, if you want to call it that? If you're like me, though, you want to grow in your relationship with God. You want to grow in your relationship with Christ, with Jesus, in such a way that it literally starts to like build you up. And it's call it a spiritual goal, separate, you know, in addition to the physical goals that we all try to come up with. One of the things, though, is I struggle so badly with this goal. And I know the verse, James chapter 4, verse 8, says this way: come near to God. You're invited. Come near to God. There's nothing that says, I'm going to grab you by the collar and drag you. It's an invitation. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. You can take that to the bank. I know that that is a real promise. I've experienced it. And James, who wrote this, would have known. Through multiple sources, scholars believe this James, who wrote this letter to the church, was Jesus' brother, or technically half-brother. He witnessed firsthand God's coming near. Chances are, this 2017, your goal to grow in your relationship with God is like mine. But my problem is I don't do it. I have a hard time getting started. I don't have a plan, a path, daily quiet times, scripture, reading my Bible, loving others, finding a way to serve. Maybe you're there too. But if you and I are alert, and that's the reason why I wanted to share this morning, if you and I are alert to our need for this, 2017 could be our best year ever. And after 2016, a lot of us need that. Let's face it. You know, I think it was Mark Lowry who nicknamed his bed. He literally nicknamed his bed, and he called it the Word. And so when his prayer partner would call, the prayer partner would say, so where are you? He'd say, I'm in the Word, man. I'm in the Word. Yesterday, I spent 2 hours in the Word in the afternoon. You know, it's... Or the one that Lee used, and this must be Bible college humor. Back in Portland, Oregon, where she went to Multnomah, she'd say on Sunday mornings, yeah, she and her friends, some Sundays, they would go hear Pastor Sheets at Bedside Baptist talking about the great comforter. Don't you wish that having a quiet time, having that intimacy with God, was as easy as getting a nap? Ha ha. Unless I'm really planning carefully, that's what it turns into a lot with me. And I literally try to convince myself, oh, God loves it. I'm worshiping Him with my subconscious. Yeah. Maybe you've been there, yeah. Well, I know you've been there because I see some of you on Sunday mornings. Remember, I am not a simulcast preacher. I can see you too. And it's a little awkward. That's what I'm talking about. Now, it would be hilarious were it not so serious. Deadly serious. You need this. And I need this. And I believe that the greatest contribution you can give to others is a fully yielded heart for God. Let me say that again. I believe in 2017, the greatest thing you can give to others is a fully yielded heart to God, whether you're 14, 44, or 94. A fully yielded heart to God. Don't you know that there's a love that only comes from a quiet, close, daily walk with God, that only comes from with prayer? So what's the problem? Why do I struggle so much? I asked a group of guys last week, where do you get more criticism from, out there or in here? And to a T, all of them, and these are most of them, high-functioning guys. Some of them are in the congregation, so I have to say it that way. And so much criticism comes as self-criticism, almost to the point of paralysis. Maybe the problem is that you've never found your pathway to a close, vital walk with God. Just as we have different spiritual gifts, different personalities, just ask Myers-Briggs, just as we have different love languages, you know, the Chapman 5 Love Languages book, we are designed with different pathways by which we experience close relationship with Christ and growing relationship with Christ. There's a book that you could pick up. We have some copies in our bookstore. There's also an online survey that Denise reminded me about that I think I'll send out in the All Church email this week. And it's a book called Sacred Pathways, and Gary Thomas wrote it, and he identifies various pathways that give us access to the presence of Christ. I want to review 7 of them so that you might identify your soul's pathway to God and quit beating yourself up and get on the pathway of being fed to overflowing so that your spiritual walk impacts the rest of your life. So the first pathway I want to mention is the relational pathway. Relators. Some people find it difficult to flourish if they try to do it alone. I have a friend who does not live here, anywhere near here, who I just found his life completely fell apart, personally. And he's a believer, but he has not plugged in to a community. And I'm still in shock over this person's life, what's going on and what's not going on in his life. But I know he's isolated. Well, whether you're a relator or not, we all need that. But for people who are built on this relational pathway, for these folks, solitude feels like solitary confinement. It's suffocating and it's frustrating. Bible studies feel fruitless. Serving by yourself alone feels like death. But if you inject a strong dose of relationship, watch what happens. Because they're in a group, they feel like they can pray like never before. When they study the Bible, when they share their life with half a dozen other Christ followers, they feel enriched almost every single time. And serving feels like no burden at all. It's actually a fun, enjoyable thing to do when you're doing it with your friends or when you're a part of a team, whether you know them or not. And worship is the same. And if this is you, on the relational pathway, it is your job. Let me say that again. It is your job to design spiritual time which involves a small group of others. So, the first pathway is the relational pathway. And if you have your bulletin and you feel like you want to jot these down or type them into your phone, because your job after you leave here is to ask 4 or 5 other people who heard the message, what is your pathway? So the first one is the relational pathway. And it's part of the reason why we have new Sunday school classes for adults starting up, along with the youth and the children's Sunday school classes. It's why we want you to be a part of a home group, of a Bible study, because there are so many of us built on that relational pathway. Secondly, and chances are you'll relate to 1 or 2 of these heavily, and I'm going to ask you before the end of the hour what pathway you are on. So first is the relational pathway. Second, the intellectual pathway. Now, the intellectual pathway, this person's mind must be fully engaged before any spiritual progress can occur. And these folks look for substance. They look for data. They keep intellectually stretching books around. They gravitate to events that challenge their thinking. And their hearts and their wills will never fully engage until their mind is completely convinced of something. And when an intellectual pathway person becomes fully engaged, watch out. There is no stopping these folks. When Martin Luther came to clarity on the message of the gospel, that the just shall live by faith, when John Calvin grasped the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, or when Chuck Colson, in prison, as one of the fall guys of the Nixon Watergate scandal, when Chuck Colson fully comprehended the supremacy of the Christian worldview, nothing stopped these guys. The Apostle Paul may have been wired this way. Read Romans and see Paul at his best. It's there at one point he cries out, "We're never going to change the world until we transform minds." Those on the intellectual pathway need to dive in to it. Do you know anyone like this? Don't feel guilty about your intellectual proclivity. It is not anti-Christian. It is not anti-faith. Keep filling your mind to keep from drying up. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. So first is the relational pathway. Second, the intellectual pathway. Thirdly is the serving pathway. The serving pathway. You know, for some reason, some folks can't feel close to God until they're quietly laboring in kingdom vineyards. They aren't the thinker types, they're the doers. They read their Bibles, they pray, they attend worship services. But if you were to ask them, where do you feel closest to God? When do you feel closest to God? When do you feel most centered and joyful and alive in Christ? They won't answer in church. They won't answer singing or in prayer. They'll probably say, when I'm serving on a roof, when I'm hammering nails, it's God's strength behind every nail. They'll say, when I'm helping out in the tech booth, they'll say, when I'm holding babies in the nursery, that's when I know that I'm an instrument in the very hands of God. Like the workers in the vineyard, the hands and feet on the body of Christ, the church in this world. When I'm helping out somewhere, then I know I'm helping in the kingdom of God and I'm close to God. Whether I'm driving the shuttle van, whether I'm greeting people, when I'm helping somewhere, I'm close to God. That may be a part of your 2017 action plan. Your serving may play a vital part in reaching people for Christ. And if this is you, then you need to put a plan together that centers on serving. And I think it will lead you to the presence of God. So the relational pathway, the intellectual pathway, the serving pathway, and fourth, the contemplative pathway. Now these contemplatives, they feel they could spend almost limitless time in solitude. Give them a Bible and a journal and they could disappear for days. For contemplatives, just being in the presence of God is enough. And they can spend hours reflecting on the goodness of God. And often these folks have enormous capacity for prayer and for meditation. And they often have very sensitive spiritual antenna. And they can discern the activity of God wherever they are, whatever they're doing. They are the ones who reflect on human suffering and the world, and they keep wondering why it happens and why so few people are moved by the condition of the poor or those who are suffering. The contemplatives. Now, they're also usually the ones who run out of gas in their car periodically, or they don't change their oil for 2 or 3 years because they're thinking of stuff. And they're often the folks who compose the songs that stir our hearts or that write the books that help us think new thoughts about God. Contemplatives can often serve as the conscience of the faith community. And they call us back to caring about the poor. They help us focus on what kingdom life is all about. And they're crucial to the kingdom. And if any of you know contemplative types, if you do, take care. Don't tell them to get busy. Rather, urge them to live how they need to live and to think the deep thoughts. Because eventually something wonderful is going to come out of this reflection, and it will bless the whole church. And if you suspect this is you, exhale. Give yourself an extra measure of grace. So, the relational pathway, the intellectual pathway, the serving pathway, the contemplative pathway, and fifth, the polar opposite, the activistic pathway. Now, unlike the contemplative, this person is at his or her best at a speed of Mach 2, white-knuckled and gasping for breath. They are the action folks, and because of their wiring, they revel in challenge-intensive environments that chase them to the absolute edge of their potential, out on the skinny branch, as Kristen Kill says. And when they're right on that edge, that's when they feel very close to God. And they know, apart from God, I may just fall on my face and this whole thing might fall apart. Because they're out on the edge. Do you know anybody like this? They're activists, and they catalyze others into action as well. Whether it's around here, whether it's in Detroit, whether it's Ipsy, Belize, Faith in Action, Ann Arbor, Alpha House, whether it's starting big new Bible studies here. If you think God made a mistake when he wired some folks up this way, realize that we specifically wouldn't be here were it not for the likes of John Wesley. The guy was a maniac. Not only does he have journals this long of his entire life, he rode more miles preaching on horseback than it is from here to the moon. And he started the people called Methodist. And George Whitefield, Dwight Moody, a host of other men and women who burst out of the starting blocks, igniting kingdom-building work. Those are the activists. And those are them on the pathway where they have to be challenging themselves immensely. That's the fifth pathway. The sixth one are those on the creation pathway, the naturalists, the green believers, the tree huggers. You've known people who come alive when they come into nature's splendor. The mountains, the rivers, the desert, the stars, the ocean, the storm, a garden, even just standing outside. They see rocks and they think about God's unshakable foundation. They see stars and they envision the hand of God and the vast omnipotence of God. And literally, Scripture says, the trees of the field go out and clap their hands. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. They work in the dirt, in gardening, and they think about how God tends us through our life and through our struggles. Well, it's a no-brainer for people on the creationist pathway, on the nature pathway, to tell you where they feel closest to God. Somewhere in creation. And it shouldn't surprise us. Remember, God originally created Adam and Eve. Where? Where did he put them? In a garden. If this is you, what if your plan to walk with Christ this year, to grow in your relationship with Christ this year, what if your plan included doubling or tripling the amount of time that you spent in nature? And just a heads up, the golf course only counts for half. Because I hear God's name a lot. But it is beautiful. So, we have the relational pathway, the intellectual pathway, the serving pathway, the contemplative pathway, the activistic pathway, the nature pathway, and then finally, the worship pathway. The worship pathway is the way some people connect with God, in God-honoring worship. And the worshiper feels closest to God in spirit-filled worship, some with rituals and written prayers, and some with the newest songs from Hillsong or Archie Woods, cranking music in their car, driving that way, praising God, making decisions, and personally worshiping Christ, being filled to overflowing that way. And, you know, David, the shepherd, the Goliath killer who became king of Israel, the author of many of the Psalms, maybe the ultimate example of someone on the worship pathway. Throughout the Psalms, he writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Don't you know, the worship people feel it deeply, that praise toward God overflows into praise of other people, and it's one of the most healthy things that you or I could do in 2017. A huge Harvard study came out late last summer, talking about people wanting to live healthier lives and extend their lives. Do you know what they found does it as much as anything else? Belonging to a church, believe it or not. How random is that? A Harvard study. And it's free. Church. So, if you are on the worship pathway, you need to design a spiritual formation plan for 2017 that involves a massive amount of worship. Do you know that you are just right as you are right now for God? Do you know that God loves you perfectly and there's nothing you could do to make God love you any more than he already does? Because that's the truth. You are perfect in his sight. Now here's the thing though. We want to grow, not because we don't think God doesn't love us, but as Christ followers, we're called to grow in him in 2017. So here are your assignments in the midst of everything going on in your lives. Number one, identify which spiritual pathway is yours. Maybe there's two that you really gravitate toward. That's okay. Identify which spiritual pathway is yours and resist the temptation to compare yours with someone else's. Man, do I wish I was contemplative. And man, do you wish I was more intellectual. And I wish that too. But I'm not. That's called pathway envy. I'll let you guess where I am. Number two, when you identify that pathway for yourself, lean into it. Try it. Schedule for it. Fill your life with it. Put your faith into action. And then number three, after you build your routine about it, number three, develop an appreciation for all the pathways. All the pathways to Christ, what they can offer you, how God blesses you through people who are on other pathways. Develop that appreciation. Try the other pathways to Christ and let them stretch you some. And then number four, help the people around you, the other Christ followers around you, to identify their pathways and help one another identify your pathway. Imagine the difference that we could make in vital union with Jesus Christ. Imagine the difference that we could make, the fruit that we could bear, the new creativity that could flow, the new power that could be unleashed, the impact that we could have on our communities if we were all regularly accessing the power of God through the pathway that we were made for. Here's how I want to close my time. I'd like to pray for each one of you and for each one of your walks, your pathways with Jesus Christ. So as we went through and you said, oh man, I really resonate with that pathway. When we come to that pathway, I'll invite you to stand and we're going to pray for you. And I'll call each of the seven pathways. So you got to pick one. You can stand for two if you need, but not three. No. So first of all, the brave ones, those on the relational pathway. If you think that is you, would you stand where you are or raise your hand so that we can pray for you? Let us pray. Oh God, please free these folks who are standing and raising their hands to love you even more deeply. Lord, let them not be frustrated by their individual quiet time, but help them to love you more deeply by entering into the richness of community that enlivens their hearts so. Lord, lead them to like-minded brothers and sisters with whom they can share this precious pathway into your presence. Thank you, God, that you speak through the lives and the words of the people around us. Surround these folks with loving brothers and sisters who can help them form Christ deeply in them. For Jesus' sake, we pray in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. And those of you on the intellectual pathway, would you please stand? Nothing to be ashamed of. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for keen minds. Thanks for insatiable mental appetites. And now I pray for these folks that you would fill their minds with that which will draw them close to your side. May you give them a hunger to continue learning. And may their transformed minds produce powerful thoughts and actions in their lives for Christ's sake. Amen. And now those of you on the serving pathway, would you please stand? Those of you who feel most close to God when you're an instrument in his hands, let us pray. God, please lead these special folks to places of service that remind them regularly that they are essential instruments in your hands. Almighty God, surprise them with your presence and with your joy as they diligently labor in the things that matter most. Amen. And now those of you on the contemplative pathway, would you please stand? Let us pray. God, throughout history, your church has always been blessed by those who dared to steal away and listen closely to your quiet whispers. God, give these sensitive folks the courage to carry on that rich kingdom tradition. Lord, you know how our church needs the fruit of that which is gained in unrushed moments of deep spirit-guided reflection. God, would you bless the contemplatives. Amen. And now, activists, would you stand, please? Or stand still, maybe I should say. Let us pray. God, thanks for the tireless devotion of these folks, and for their energy, for how they energize others, for their tenacity, for how they inspire that in others, for their love of the kingdom challenge. And God, I pray that you would meet these folks in the middle of their many challenges, that you'd reward them by reminding them in the midst of the challenge that their work is never in vain when it is truly in you. God, remind them of your love in the midst of all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now those of you on the creation pathway, would you stand? Almighty God, thank you for these folks. And I pray that you would free them to avail themselves fully to the beauty of your creation. Lord God, Creator God, give them the determination to arrange their lives for long moments by lakes and streams, mountains, valleys, woods, rivers, and hills. Disclose yourself to them, God, in your transforming love, and fill them up so they may return refreshed and pouring into your world with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now those on the worship pathway, would you please stand? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, please remove any embarrassment to these who lift their hands and their voices to the sound of your melodies. Lord God, please help bless those who are moved by deep liturgy. Fill their hearts to overflowing as they pour their hearts out to you in worship. And Lord God, then move them to the kinds of actions that will produce more worshipers all throughout the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to just close this time with a prayer for all of us. Lord Jesus, we want to be men and women after your own heart. People who walk with you closely in 2017, who listen to you intently, and who follow you boldly. Lord God, we want to worship you personally We want to be close to you. We want to abide in you. We want to enjoy your presence from here to eternity. And Lord, we admit we want to take as many people with us as we can. Almighty God, help us to that end, that we would live lives of overflowing for Christ's sake, and in his name we pray. Amen.